from 2 Corinthians 5:17 to start out here this morning. And thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Word of God. And I was always taught in Bible school to always preach the Word, preach the Word, preach the Word, and then obey the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Spirit will always reveal the Word of God to us. The Word is not just a book that we read mentally, but it's a living Word that feeds our inner man. It feeds us. It feeds you spiritually. I remember days, long years ago, in the church I was at, they had this specific verse on the doors of this big denominational church. And I used to look at it all the time before I was born again. I was in church, but I wasn't born again. You know, you can be going to church, but not be born again. And it said this, 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Amen. And I would read that and I would think, what does that mean? What is this new creature? What does it mean to be in Christ? And then when I got born again in the hospital room in 1979 at St. Luke's Hospital in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, on my deathbed, just in the little room with a precious lady playing the organ, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. He came into my heart. And then the Word of God became something more than a book. It became life. I became so enthralled and a voracious reader and meditated and memorized. I couldn't get enough of the Word of God. Because there was a void there that was finally filled. Jesus was in my heart. God, the living Word, was in my heart. So then I realized that I was a new creature. All the things that I'd done in my past, they were not just covered, they were purged. As if I'd never even done those things.
Amen.
And that love, that God did that for me, and He did that for you. Amen. All the things that you'd done in your past, all those things that you had thought about and done, He's not just covered them, they've been purged by the blood of Jesus. Amen. When you become a new creature, you are a new, brand new creature. A brand new creation. The old has passed away.
Yes.
The old is dead. You could say that. The old is dead. It's buried.
Yes.
Amen? That's the reason why Jesus was crucified, buried, and then He rose.
Yes.
Right? And our faith in that, our belief in that, our identification with His resurrection is so powerful. I say we should teach the resurrection every day, not just every Sunday, not just once a year.
Yes.
But we're living in resurrected life, a new creature. And you know, the Word of God is like an onion. There's different layers. As you grow spiritually, the revelation of God's Word will be more and more as you pull back layers of it. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Yeah, there'll be layers. There'll be more revelation of His Word as you meditate on the Word, as you grow older spiritually. And the thing that the Apostle Paul always did when he went around to churches, when his ministry was, he went all around his ministerial path. He was always encouraging the churches and getting them to grow up spiritually, to be more in the fullness of what God wanted them to be. As a matter of fact, we're all born again, and there are four stages of spiritual growth and development. And the first is being a baby. And then we grow into a childhood, spiritually I'm speaking, and then a youth, and then finally you grow up into an adult. And that's where we're all headed. We're all in different stages of spiritual growth and development. And we should always have that. We should have new births. We had one a couple weeks ago in our church. A young man gave his heart to Jesus. And he went to Oklahoma, but I'm still in touch with him, Noah. And we have to realize that we grow up spiritually, but we cannot grow unless we're hearing the Word. And hearing the Word on a consistent basis, that's why we should gather together like this.
Yes.
And then take what's being taught. And like that's why I have notes and things for you to have with you and read it during the week. Get into the Word yourself. Make sure what I'm saying is truth. Get into the Word yourself. Get into that relationship with Jesus so you know the Word is His face. If you get into that place where you know the Word of God is the face of Jesus, you will never leave the Word. It's so important to be in the Word. I always tell people, just be in the Word 20 minutes a day. Somehow, get into the Word. At least if you can get into the Word 20 minutes a day. Listen, there'll be distractions that will try to distract you. Every time you get into the Word, there'll be distractions. They'll try to get you off of the Word. Because the devil does not want you in the Word of God. Because Jesus is the vine and we are the branches.
Amen.
And the number one thing I believe that God wants from us is our fruit. He wants the fruit.
Amen.
We learn in the Numbers that the children of the Old Testament, when they go into the Promised Land, God said, bring the fruit of the land. Right? That's the number one thing he said, bring of the fruit of the land. We all know the story. There were giants in the land. He wanted them to go in and conquer the giants. There were only two men that said, we are well able. Yeah. But this is a church that we collectively say, we are able. Right. We are able. You are well able to possess the land. And so they brought back fruit. And that's what we are doing. We are growing up spiritually. We're growing up spiritually. You know, as a baby grows up, they make blunders, they make mistakes, they touch hot irons, and they draw back, you know. They're told, don't touch that, but they touch it anyway, right? And they draw back. Experience is a teacher. But we can also be taught and learn and do what the Word says without going through potholes and, you know, things like that. You know what potholes are in here? I know Wes knows what potholes are. In Chicago, they got potholes. In Iowa, they got potholes. They're potholes that your car can disappear in. I'm telling you, they're huge. And some of you can see coming, right, Wes? Some of you can't. And all of a sudden, you hit one, and it causes damage to your car. I've been in a car before where it's caused, you know, damage to the rear axle. It can cause you financial problems. Well, think about it this way. The Holy Spirit wants you to be keen and understand the things that are coming so you can avoid potholes. As you grow spiritually, you're walking with the Holy Spirit, and He's our helper, Parakletos, the one called alongside to help, and He will show us things to come, and He'll give us things, revelation, so we can avoid potholes. You know, sometimes He's told me, don't turn there, don't go there, don't look there. You know, just by my side, just a little on the inside. Have you ever had this? You just have an unction like, I should call somebody. Yeah. You know, I should call somebody. Or I shouldn't do that. Or I should, I'll tell on myself. This always helps, little stories. I'll tell on myself. The other day, you know, we're coming into the rainy season. I wanted to go to a store to get a pump to pump out water. Because sometimes we get a little place in our yard and we have to pump out water. And I'm learning that that's called dirty water. That's not clean water, it's dirty water. So I'm learning about this stuff and about pumps. So I went to a store, and I went into the aisle, and I said, well, I can see the pump I want, but I need an adapter that I can't find. And the man said, well, you can find this adapter in this hose if you got to buy separately. And I said, oh, that's interesting. So and he's standing right there, and I tore open the bag while he was there. I said, that's the hose, that's the adapter I need, the coupler. And he goes, kind of jokingly, he goes, well, now you open it, you got to buy it. I just laughed, you know. And so I went into the aisle, and my thought was, I'm going to take this coupler. I'm going to put the hose back. Yeah, your pastor, yeah. Because I just need this little 20-cent coupler, and they're not going to need it. And I'm just going to put it inside the, you know, where my pump is. And so I'm going down the aisle, and I'm standing there. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit's doing this, you know, doing this. I'm like, what? It's just a little coupler. And the Holy Spirit's like, you can't do that. It's going to bother you the rest of the day, the rest of the week. And I said, the rest of my life, I said, okay, all right. And so I bought the whole thing. That was the solution. Buy the whole thing. Buy the hose that had the coupler with it. And so I went home, and I was so at peace. Whew, I'm glad I did that. It's so good when you obey the Holy Spirit. Because have you ever been there where you don't obey and you're miserable? Miserable. It can affect you. It can affect your relationship with people. It can affect your relationships at your work and everything. But just do what's right. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will show you what's right. And thank God for our conscience. Thank God for our conscience that is sincere. Brother Hagin used to say that he knew an old man one time that drank coffee all the time, piping hot coffee. And he got so he could drink coffee just piping hot, just slug it down without even affecting him. And somebody asked him, how have you done that? He said, well, I've done it over the years, and my throat has gotten used to the hot. And so he was in perilous or impervious, whatever that, to the hot. And he would just slug it down. And we don't want to get calloused to the Holy Spirit. Amen. We don't want. We want our spirit to be sensitive, so that when the Lord says, "Go speak to that person," or "Go say something to that person," we just obey because we're sensitive. We're sensitive to Him. And that's what walking with the Holy Spirit is. And that's what we're teaching you, how to grow up spiritually so you're more in tune with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's right here. David says He's on my right-hand side. He's right here.
Yes.
With us. I can't see Him, but He's here with me. He's my helper.
Amen.
He's my strengthener, my advocate,
Amen.
My standby, Amen. My counselor. My counselor. Can you imagine that? He is my physician. He's my counselor. He's my marriage counselor. So I don't know how to be a husband. I don't know how to be a father because I didn't have a good example. But you know what? I have a helper. I have a helper that's right by my side. And every morning I say, Lord, thank you for helping me be a father. Thank you for helping me be a husband. Thank you for helping me be a pastor. Thank you for helping me. I need wisdom. And the Holy Spirit always says, it's on the inside. It's on the inside. Just stir it up. And profess my word and believe it, and it's already on the inside of you. You have the word of God already on the inside of you. You have the hope of glory. It's already there. And so you just have to learn how to agree with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God and the word of God agree. And He will bring back to your remembrance things that you have been taught from the word just when you need them. He'll bring you a word from the Spirit of God when you heard it before, when you made a deposit. You will get a withdrawal sometime when you need it. Oh, this is good. I got to get this videotape. This is good. I have not thought of any of this. But I do know this. There are four stages. Let's go through these. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we grow up spiritually. Now, the babyhood stage, Hebrews 5:13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of, this is very important, righteousness, for he is a babe. The word of righteousness. Righteousness meaning, in the Greek, it means justification or just as if you had never sinned. You are in a position when you're born again, your inner man is a new creature, you're in the same relationship that Adam had in the garden before he fell. That's the power of righteousness. God sees you as a new creature. He doesn't see you with your past. Glory.
Amen.
Glory to God. Some of us are saying glory to God. He doesn't see your past. So we're becoming more skillful in the word of righteousness. But when you're a baby, you need milk. Unfortunately, a lot of churches, they just have a lot of babies. Because all they're feeding them is milk. All they're feeding them is milk. They don't know the meat of the word. They don't have anything to go home and chew on. But I'm telling you, I'll give you things to chew on. I'll give you outlines.
Yes.
I'll give you
yes.
Greek. I'll give you things that during the week you can chew on.
Yes.
All right? So a babyhood stage is Hebrews 5:13. Now, you go into a child stage. Ephesians 4:14 through 15 says that we henceforth be no more children. So we got past the stage of just being a child. Tossed to and fro, this is a child spiritually, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We need to become mature spiritually so we're not taken in with false doctrine. So that we're not grabbing at every shiny thing that comes along. So when somebody says, Jesus is over there in Lakeland, or Jesus is over there in Iran, or Jesus just popped up over in Saudi Arabia, let's all go over there. Don't go. Plain and simple, I'll tell you, because that's not the way He's going to come. But there'll be many saying in the last days, here is Christ, there is Christ, and there'll be false doctrines all around us. I had a woman in a church a long time ago that somebody in Lakeland was saying that he was Jesus. He was laying hands on the sick. People were getting healed. That's great and all. But then somebody said, well, this is Jesus in the flesh. And she wouldn't come to this church. She'd say, well, I got to go where Jesus is at. He's in Lakeland. And your eyes would get all, ugh. You know, that's when you can tell somebody is somewhere else. If they're not here. I mean, they're, listen, we need to be real. Look at Jesus. People wanted to be around Him. Right? They invited Him to parties. He was with the people. And they loved Him. We need to be people that people want to be around. They want to say, what is it you got? Brenda, what is it you got? They'll say. And you can tell them. It's Jesus. It's a wonderful opportunity, just that lifestyle evangelism. But we need to be, I mean, I'm educated. I've been to college. I have degrees. But you know what? I count it all naught for the love of Jesus, for His, for the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So you can be a tongue talker, you can be spirit-filled, and you can still be balanced. Amen?
Amen.
You can still be balanced. You don't have to be a fruitcake. All kinds of nuts and fruits. And no, you can be balanced. Be a balanced Christian, but have the power of God on the inside. So you're loaded. You're ready. You're ready to tell somebody about Jesus. But some are tossed to and from, whereby they lie in wait, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto Him in all things. Now, next phase is the youth. And some are not going to like this in here, but we go through an adolescent stage. We go through an adolescent stage. What is an adolescent? They know just enough, but they're not going to do anything anybody tells them to do, usually. They're going to find out on their own, and they're going to be rebellious. They're going to be rebellious. They're just going to do whatever they want. I know what to do. I know what to do. Nobody's going to give me any counsel. I know exactly what to do. Right? Of course, my son is not like that. He's an adult, right? No. But we love them at this age, but we want them to grow up in that stage. There's something called submission to spiritual authority. Uh-oh. You're quiet. The charismatic church hates that. Hates that teaching. But we need to be submissive to spiritual authority in the church. We're in an army. And God has placed different spiritual authority in the church. And when somebody says something, and you're under their spiritual authority, you need to do what they tell you to do. Listen, if you're in a foxhole over there in fighting, and there are missiles flying over, and there are shells flying over, and your sergeant says, get down, right? Get your head down. And you say, no, I'm not going to get... That's not good. There are no unbelievers in a foxhole. I mean, if your commanding officer says, get down, you better get down. Right? Praise God.
Praise God.
And praise the Lord. You know, and somebody said, well... we never see Miss April. We never see. I'm the pastor, but she's my wife. She's the number one woman in this church.
Yes.
She's the number one. She's the first lady.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. So I know some of them won't like to hear this, but when she says do something, she's under authority of the Lord. Amen. And so she has authority. She has spiritual authority. Praise God. Ooh, I got a tingle right there. You know, I said it, Lord. I wasn't going to say it, but I said it. All right. Then, lastly, what's an adult? Adult Christian. Hebrews 5:14 says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So when you grow spiritually, you have those senses on the inside to know that's not good. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. But that is good. I am going to do that. The other day, I asked somebody to go with me to a store, another man, to help me. And this man was in the Navy and or Air Force. I guess he was Air Force. And, he's not saved. I'm trying to share the gospel with him. But I want to befriend him, right? And I've never heard so many bombs in my life in the car as we're going. You know what I'm talking about? But I don't say, hey, stop it. I'm a pastor. I don't want to hear that. No, right? No. You gotta just be with them. Right? And I wanna befriend him. I want him someday to ask me, or I want to have that door open where I can share with him about Jesus. And so we need to understand that we have to. Sometimes we go into places where we're in the world. Just because we're a believer doesn't mean we're supposed to be sheltered from the world. In fact, the Bible says we need to let our light shine in the world. In the world. We're not supposed to sit up on a hill or go into the mountain and get a bunch of food from Save-A-Lot and just all huddle down. In the last days, we need to be out there in the highways and byways. We need to be out there where the unsaved are. We need to let our light shine in the midst of darkness. Because if we're not, we're the only epistle they're going to read. We're the only Jesus they're going to see. And so, but what do? You say, oh, they picked my fruit up. Well, come back to church. Come to church and get filled up. And then stay in the Word during that week and stay engrafted in the vine. Because Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. He is the vine. We are the branches. This is exciting. Number, I want to go to the number three in the notes. Number three, in Christ, as a spiritual being, you are right now, this instant, seated in Christ.
Amen.
Right now, that's where you are at spiritually. Some people, well, how can that be? I'm down here on the earth. Well, spiritually, you are in Christ. If you're in Christ, Christ is at the right hand of the Father right now. Seated at the right hand of the Father. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. And boy, this week I had to remind myself of that because every name was trying to threaten me. Every name was coming up trying to give me fear. All imaginations and principalities and things were trying to, I mean, I get hit all the time. You got to pray for me as your pastor and my wife and my son because we're on the point of this thing. And we get every, I mean, our swords are all the time going, ching, 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 ching. Ching, ching. Because we're in this battle, but we win. We win. I read the back of the book and we win. We can't lose. We're on a winning team. And you're on a winning team. But I had to remind myself that every name, every principality and power is under my feet. And that is under your feet too. Every name that is named. Cancer is under your feet. Depression is under your feet. Poverty is under your feet. Fear is under your feet. It's all under your feet because you are seated in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
It says in Ephesians 2, 4 through 6, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love for when he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together. Everybody say together.
Together.
Hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And look at verse 6. And hath raised us up together. Hath. Say hath. Hath raised us up together. You know, before Jesus sat down, he had to be raised up through the clouds, through the four areas of principalities and powers, through the levels of darkness. He was raised up through them. Amen?
Amen.
He went through them. He didn't stop on the second floor. He went through them.
Amen.
And sat down in the heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. And the glorious good news is that if that's where he's at, that's where you're at. If you're a member of the body of Christ, where Jesus is at, that's where you're at. So you can exercise your spiritual authority and say, I'm in Christ. Devil, get back under my feet.
Amen.
Get under my feet, fear. Get under my feet. In the name of Jesus, get under my feet.
Amen.
And all the praise goes to Jesus. All the praise goes to him.
Yes.
That spiritual authority I'm talking about is what Jesus mentioned in Luke 10, 19. He said, behold, I give unto you power. The word power is exousia. Power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. The word power, that excuse you, one of the definitions, if you look it up, it means delegated authority. Woo! Delegated authority. Not your authority, but delegated authority. Jesus has given you his name. He's given you the badge of heaven, of heavenly places. He's given you that badge. A police officer stands out and puts his hand up. He has a badge on out there on Starkey. And he puts his hand up. Cars stop. He puts his hand up and these huge automobiles stop. He says, do this. And they go that direction. Or they better. Because if they don't, then that car will see this other car with lights on it, and they'll get pulled over, and it will cost them financially. And so, what is this policeman have, or police officer? Policewomen, policemen, delegated authority. They know they have delegated authority. So, when they say stop, the person there has to stop because they recognize, that's very important, that other person recognizes their spiritual authority, delegated authority, which they have been given by the state of Florida. By Pinellas County, by the state of Florida, all the way up to Tallahassee, and our governor, and the laws of the land, right? You have been given delegated authority in the spirit to stand out and say, no, devil, in the name of Jesus, stop. Stop. Stop right now. In the name of Jesus. Get off of my family. Take those blinders off of my loved ones. In the name of Jesus. Poverty, get out of my household. In Jesus' name, I command you to stop right now in Jesus' name. And the devil has to stop.
Amen.
He has to stop because he recognizes the name. in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Behold, I've given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. Oh, the devil doesn't want you to know this. He doesn't want you to get the revelation of it. He doesn't want you to start using the name. It's okay for you to hear it, but as we grow older, we're doers of the word. Become doers of the word. As soon as you can, when you get outside today, begin to use the name of Jesus. If you see something the devil's trying to steal, kill, or destroy, say, no, in the name of Jesus, stop. Devil, stop. Stop doing that right now. In Jesus' name, not in my name, in the name of Jesus, we command you to stop. Every member of the body of Christ, this is my mandate, because the Lord's called me to teach the body of Christ, individually and corporately, that every one of you are seated in Christ. Every one of you are in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. But these things don't fall on us like ripe cherries off a tree. We have to meditate on them. We have to chew on them. We have to be doers of the word. And that's how you become skillful at the word of God. The word is voice activated. The word of God is voice activated. So it's so important to speak the word. And finally, you say, well, how can I see who I am in Christ? Let me ask you a question, and be honest. How many of you looked in the mirror this morning? Okay, about 50% of you. And the other 50%, I'll ask you, who looked in the mirror this morning? Now, everybody said, Bobby Joe, you didn't look in the mirror this morning. He's fine. Didn't have to do anything to his hair. Yeah. But listen, what? I love you, Bobby Joe. What do you do when you get up in the morning to correct things that are like a nest up there? You look in a mirror. You look in a mirror and it reflects who you are. And you go, oh, I can make that adjustment. Oh, that's who I am. Sometimes I look in the mirror and go, that's, whoa. That's what 65 looks like. Whoa. No, but when you look in a mirror, you get a reflection. Here's how you find out what you look like in Christ. The mirror is God's word.
That's right.
It's a glass. The word of God is the mirror. And we get the reflection of who you are in Christ by looking at the mirror. Not just one time, but every day.
Yes.
Every day. And not only that, but meditate in the word. Meditate in the word. That means the Hebrew word, Joshua 1:8, Hebrew word for meditate is haggah. It means to ponder, to teach, to talk, to utter. It means to study. To meditate on the word, it means to confess the word. In the morning, you know, instead of saying, oh, it's a Monday morning, tomorrow's Monday, get up in the morning and say, and we'll see if you do this. It's not easy. Get up in the morning and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You know what else? Today I am healed by the stripes of Jesus, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And today I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Today the anointing surrounds me, that my angels go before me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I can do all things today through Christ who strengthens me. My body is healed. I'm walking in divine health today. I have favor that goes before me. Glory to God. Goodness and mercy are on each side of me. My angels are protecting me as I go. Angels are on my car as I drive on 19 or as I drive on the highway, especially down here in Florida. As you're going down the road, thank God for angels. Thank God for angels. Somebody asked me a question one time, Pastor, do angels fly over 55? Oh, deep theological question. Deep theological question. But thank God for angels. How many of you, a show of hands, have had angels protection? All of us, we know it's been angels. We know it was not by human intervention, but it was divine intervention that took place. I know without a shadow of a doubt. And so finally, in conclusion, James 1, 22 and 23, 22 through 25, it says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For he, if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Well, that word glass means mirror. That's what that means. And for behold, he beholds himself, he sees who he is, but goeth his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. See, it's possible to forget who you are in Christ. It's possible for you to forget that you're seated in Christ when a trial comes or when something comes against you. It is easy to forget. And we can be defeated or spoiled for lack of knowledge. But we can get back in the Word and say, hey, look it, I am seated in Christ. That which is trying to come against me is under my feet. Yes. The little toe on the right foot of the body of Christ is still on top of the devil. The little toe, you may be a little toe on the right foot or the left foot of the body of Christ, you're still on top of the devil.
Amen.
You have victory and authority over all principality and power and might. So if you, verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So doing the word. We can hear this all day long about who you are in Christ and how to exercise your spiritual authority. But unless we do it, we don't grow. My purpose is to help you grow. The gifts in the body of Christ are for help you grow so you can become more skillful and knowing who you are in Christ. So you don't have to ask somebody every time something comes. You don't have to get on the phone. You go to the throne. You don't always have to go to the phone. Go to the throne. And as you get older spiritually, you're not going to be talking to other people about your problems so much.
That's right.
You're not going to be glorifying the devil all the time.
Amen.
You're going to know that the more you talk about something, the bigger it gets. So you're going to learn how to talk the Word and exalt how big the Word is. Exalt how big God is.
Thank you.
Because God will be as big as you say He is.
Amen.
We serve a big God. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask for. The church is here on the earth right now. We won't always be, but right now the church is on the earth. We are preserving this earth right now. We're the salt.
Yes.
That's preserving this big piece of meat down here. But when we are lifted off this earth, that's when I don't want to be here. People don't want to be here because it's going to be putrefied. It's going to be rotten. It's going to be chaos. It's going to be anarchy like you've never seen. But we're going to be up. We're going to be gone. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, just be doers of the word. We have such a great church. We have the best church in Pinellas County. We have a great church. Because you're growing spiritually. You're loving one another. You're helping one another. We have people bringing people to church. We have people helping people get here. We have people that are bringing things to people. And I don't, people are calling on people. I don't even know things that are happening. That's what a good church does. You call on people that you don't see in church. That's why we have a directory. You call on people, say, how you're doing? You know, the body functions. It's walking and it's healthy. And it's functioning. But we love you, my wife and I, we love you. You are doing great. My wonderful wife, April, come on up here, honey. Come on up. Pray for me today. Pray for me. I don't know what's going to happen if I...